American. He's not very much American, but he is American. But he's very much into leadership in the church in America. He has written a very helpful commentary on the book of Deuteronomy. And he refers to results from a four-year study of outstanding leaders. This study was carried out having studied the strengths of what might be called super leaders. And having studied them over this four-year period, five strengths were identified that were common to all of them. The first one is that they all had vision. I quote, "They all had the capacity to create a compelling vision of a desired state of affairs." Secondly, they all had good communication. They had the capacity to communicate the vision in a way that gained the support of others. Thirdly, they had persistence. They all had the capacity to maintain the organization's direction, especially when the going got tough. Fourthly, they had empowerment. They had the capacity to create a structure that harnessed the energies and abilities of others to get the best results. And then fifthly and finally, they had organizational learning. In other words, they had the capacity to monitor an organization's performance, to learn from past actions, to use the resulting knowledge to forge a course for the future. Vision, communication, persistence, empowerment, and organizational learning. When you think of Moses as the leader of God's people, those five terms apply to him pretty well. As you scan scripture, as you visualize him in all the different events that we know of Moses being in, yes, Moses was a sort of super leader. He was an outstanding leader of God's people. Yes, of course, there were times when he wobbled a bit. And that's the wonderful thing about Scripture. Scripture, and I think it underlines for us the credibility of Scripture, it includes all the imperfections of people. It includes all the bad points, all the mistakes they made, as well as all their good points. When you read through what happened to Moses, he does wobble from time to time. And yet still, he was arguably the best leader in the Old Testament period. But now, he's about to step down from his leadership role. And it's not that he's retiring. It's not that he's not able to do it anymore. No, the man was 120 years old, and yet, when you look in chapter 34, verse 7, you read, "His eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone." So, even though he was an old man, he still had all the faculties to lead the people of God still further. So this isn't a retirement for Moses. In a sense, this is a loving dismissal of Moses. Verse 2 of chapter 31, he says, "I am now 120 years old and I am no longer able to lead you." Why? Why, Moses? "Because the Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan." We haven't time to look into the reason behind that, but if you read in Numbers 20, Moses made a big wobble. He made a massive mistake. And because of that mistake, God said, "You will not lead the people into the promised land. Another man will." But here, the time has come for Moses now to step down. The time has come for him now to allow someone else to take over from him. And that's our focus this evening from chapter 31. This matter of Joshua taking over from Moses. And these four closing chapters of Deuteronomy are, as it were, a closing bracket to the whole of the book. The book opens, those first three chapters, they open with Moses preparing Joshua for leadership. The book closes with Moses putting Joshua in the place of leadership. We have this great song of Moses also in chapter 31, but just our focus tonight is this change in leadership. First of all, how does Moses prepare the people? Because he does need to prepare them. Remember, Moses has been this generation's leader for at least 40 years. And so they've become used to his face. They've become used to his voice. They've become used to his style, his mannerisms. They've become used to the way he says certain things. I was listening to a guy preaching the other day, and he sounded Australian. He always went up at the end. Every sentence went up at the end. Well, Moses had a style which they had gotten used to. But now the time has come for change. And any change, any transfer of leadership is often a critical time for any organization, whether it's a business or a government or a football team or even for a church. But the transition from Mr. A leading to Mr. B now being in charge, being leading, that now has an effect. If you look at the business world, the share price changes. That's always affected when someone now takes over the chair. People are already speculating on what effect the new government will have, this new majority conservative government. What effect will the new cabinet members have on our nation? People are already thinking like that. Change in leadership is it's a big thing in the Bible. It's surprising how often it's included there. If we have, for example, the change from Samuel to Saul, of David to Solomon, Elijah to Elisha, the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, Paul to Timothy. It's surprising how much God has included in his word of a change in leadership, because leadership does change things. And a change of leader can be unsettling for those being led. So how does Moses then prepare the people of Israel for a change? Well, first of all, he reminds them of who their leader really is. Look at verse 3 there. The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. So I'm stepping down from being your leader, Moses tells them. I won't be going over the Jordan into the promised land with you. But listen, the Lord your God, he will. He will. And listen, he says, the Lord your God himself will go over before you. Do you see that? God himself, he will go ahead of them. He will prepare the way for them. The Lord, he will go first. That's a great thing for God's people always to remember, that the Lord is always ahead of us. He's never behind us, having to make adjustments now for the decisions we have made. He's always ahead of us, always ahead of God's people. And he would go ahead and prepare the way for the people of Israel to follow him. So there's a great sense of security here for God's people, that the Lord their God, who had brought them out of Egypt, who was shepherding them, who was fathering them, he was always ahead of them. Moses also reminds them here then that there's a continuity then in the leadership. In other words, yes, there would be a different human leader for them, because look at the end of verse 3, Joshua also will cross over ahead of you. But listen, whether it's Moses or Joshua or whoever else is leading you, it's the same Lord who brought you out of Egypt and who himself will lead you into the promised land. So whilst there will be a change of leader with a small l, Moses reminds them of who their leader is with a capital L. And that never changes. That never changes. He always remains the same. And I think that is the comforting thing to remember for every local church, that when there is ever a change in the eldership or the pastorate, yes, the under-shepherd is changing, but the head shepherd isn't changing. The Lord Jesus Christ, the good shepherd, he continues still as the head. And thank God that never changes. Ever changes. Secondly, Moses reminds them of what the Lord will do for them. There in verses 3 and 4 and 5. He says the Lord will give them victory over all their enemies in the promised land. God is going to do for them in the promised land what he had already done for them to kings of Sihon and Og, kings of the Amorites. So yes, there will be a different human leader leading them into the promised land. But in terms of direction, in terms of objective, there is no change. What God has done before under Moses, God will do still under Joshua. The objectives are still the same for God's people. So all those promises that God had made to his people, what God had promised the forefathers of Israel, they all still stay the same. Nothing's changed of any of that whatsoever. Only the leadership has changed. The plans haven't changed. And so again, if we look for application there, yes, if there is ever a change in leadership for any church, yes, the leader is different. I mean, that's unmistakable. That's unmissable. But what might well be missed or forgotten is that the objectives should stay the same. That the functions of every local church, assuming they've got it right, they stay the same. Whoever it is leading them, the functions of every local church in terms of evangelism, in terms of reaching out into the local community, in terms of sanctification and building the people of God up, in terms of worship and offering up sacrifices of praise, those functions, those objectives always remain the same. Now, obviously, the methods may well vary. They may change. They may tweak a little as the new leader brings his own style, his own vision, his own ideas, and so forth. But those fundamental objectives are always the same. Always the same, as we see here in this passage. When you think of what Paul told Timothy, Paul had given Timothy the commission of going round and reaffirming everything that Paul himself had told. Nothing new, nothing different. Different guy, a different voice, different style, but just the same old message that Paul himself had told. Thirdly, Moses prepares the people for change by encouraging them in the Lord. And then you see that in verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Back in verse 3, Moses had told them that the Lord would go before them. In other words, the Lord would lead them and give them the victory over their enemies. Here, Moses tells them, the Lord will also go with you, right beside you. So even before we start talking about Joshua as the new leader, we've got here such a very helpful, a very vivid picture of a shepherd. We have here the Lord as their shepherd leading them to find a rest, a home for them in the promised land. But also the shepherd is with them. He's by their side. He's protecting them. He's comforting them. He's feeding them. He's right there with them. And so they need not be afraid. They need not be in dread of their enemies. That's something the psalmist could say in Psalm 118. The Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Or think of what King David writes in Psalm 23. Such a well-known psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me or he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And again, doesn't this remind us of our Lord Jesus, of our Good Shepherd? The one who always had this great plan of salvation, this plan which involved him coming into this world for us, who laid down his life for us, who died for his people. And so his people are so very, very precious to him. He has gone ahead of us and he is with us. He is the one who has promised us, I will be with you always to the very end. So it is, isn't it, such an encouragement for any congregation facing any sort of change in their leadership to remember that regardless of whoever it is who's actually physically leading them, it's the Lord Jesus, their Savior, their head, their King, who is always leading them, who is always with them every step along the way. So be strong, Moses tells the people of Israel. Be strong, be bold, be courageous, because your survival, your future as the people of God, ultimately isn't dependent on the next man. It's dependent upon the Lord. And because he is the Lord, you can have courage. You can have boldness. You can have strength. You can be optimistic about the future. Why? Because it's the Lord who is always with you. That's how Moses prepares the people. How then does Moses prepare Joshua? Because Moses doesn't actually die until chapter 34. But here he formally commissions Joshua to take over from him. I mean, who was Joshua? Who is this guy, Joshua? I mean, the first time we ever hear of him is back in Exodus chapter 17. There you read of him leading an army out to fight against the Amalekites. Moses was up on top of the hill praying for him. Verse 13, so Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. So in terms of courage, in terms of clout, you know that word? In terms of backbone, in terms of the kind of traits that will certainly be needed when they get into the promised land and they'll have all those battles to face, Joshua here in Exodus 17, he's proven himself. He is a military leader. He is suitable for this position of leadership. But Joshua has also shown us his spiritual leadership. Do you remember that story of when the 12 spies were sent into the promised land? Remember, they had come to the edge of the promised land and they weren't quite sure whether to go in or not. And so somebody came up with the great idea of to send people in to spy out the land. And they all came back with a report of what they had seen. 10 of them brought a bad report back. Oh, it's too bad. Oh, no, we'll never survive. You know, those sorts of people. Oh, no, people of woe and doom. But Joshua and Caleb were very different to those 10. Yes, it was a difficult place. Yes, there were giants there. Yes, it was going to be hard. But listen to what they say. Numbers 14, verse 7. The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into that land. A land flowing with milk and honey, and will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. And do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. And so we have here with Joshua this real spiritual leadership, this ability in him to keep faith in God, in spite of the size of task ahead of him, in spite of to having a majority against him, a majority who are not just verbally against him, saying we're not going to go in there, but are actually beginning to get physically against him. They pick up their stones, they're about to stone him, and yet he still stands and says, I believe we can do it. Not because of our number, but because of what God has promised us. So Joshua here is evidently a spiritual man. He's a man of faith. He's also shown us his spiritual relationship with God. When Moses and Joshua would go out to the tent of meeting to spend time with the Lord, when Moses left to return to his own tent, you find Joshua would stay there. Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young assistant, Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Now, why is that detail there? I think, you know, it includes for us that wonderful picture of this leader in waiting, of someone spending his own time on his own with God. Leadership in waiting. And just one more example of Joshua's character. You see there in Numbers chapter 11, it's his attitude. It's his loyalty to the existing leadership. Back in Numbers 11, when Moses was facing yet another rebellion, people were not obeying him. They weren't obeying him. They weren't responding to his role as leader. And Joshua is bothered about that. These people are ignoring their leader, Moses. And so, Numbers 11, verse 28, Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' assistant since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my Lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. So here is a man, Joshua. He's mentally a leader, spiritually a leader, devotionally a leader, attitudinally, if that's a right word, a leader. And now at last, after 40 years of waiting, of being Moses' assistant, now it's time for Joshua to step forward and take over. So how does Moses then prepare Joshua here for leadership, for taking over? First of all, he prepares him publicly. Publicly. The people of Israel had known for quite some time now that Joshua was Moses' assistant. But here you read in verse 7 that he formally appoints Joshua in front of everybody. It says there, in the presence of all Israel. So there's good communication here between Moses, the leader, the existing leader, and the congregation there. There's no confusion, but there's good communication going on here. Moses is showing the people that he knows who will succeed him. And so when Joshua does take over, it won't look as though, you know, he's usurping the position of leadership. But everything is now done in the open in this period of change and transition. He prepares him publicly. And secondly, he prepares him personally. And you see that in those verses 7 and 8. And those words that Moses says to Joshua are the same words that Moses had said to the whole nation. What Moses had said to the nation corporate, he now says very personally to Joshua. Joshua, be strong and courageous. The Lord goes before you, and he will be with you. He will not leave you, Joshua. He will not forsake you, Joshua. And later on then in verse 23, you read there how the Lord himself uses those same words. He says, I myself will be with you, Joshua. Because, you know, it's one thing to hear somebody else tell you the Lord will be with you. But it's something far, far more special, far more personal, far more intimate when the Lord himself says to you, I myself will be with you. It shows us how the Lord understands the burden of leadership. Very few people understand leadership. Very few people understand the burden. Usually it's often just the wife of the leader or other leaders in the church, but very few people understand the loneliness, the great burden, the great anxiety, the concern that the leader carries. God here is telling Joshua, I understand, Joshua, and I will be with you always. There's one more thing Moses says to Joshua. Look at there at the very end of verse 8. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. In the ESV it says, do not fear. Do not be dismayed. And to begin with, I wasn't quite sure what Moses meant by those words. Was he just repeating what he had said before? Until I read Ezekiel, and I read of how God called Ezekiel to be a prophet to the people of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 2, you read in verse 6 there, God says to him, you son of man, be not afraid of them. Who's them? God's people. Don't be afraid of God's people. Nor be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. And then it dawned on me what Moses is saying here to Joshua. Moses, about to stand down after 40 years of leading a stubborn group of people out of Egypt, having brought them through the wilderness, he now tells the man coming after him, don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. In other words, Joshua, don't be afraid when they say things against you, when they talk about you behind your back, when they accuse you or when they condemn you, because I know what that's like, Joshua. And I want to say to you, Joshua, don't be afraid of that because the Lord is always with you. And Joshua, don't be dismayed when they give you that look. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced that look, but there is a look that exists within a local church. And leadership knows what that looks like. There is a look. Joshua, when they give you that look, don't be dismayed. Don't lose your confidence. Don't lose your optimism. Don't give up, Joshua. Why? Because the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Just as he was with me, Joshua, so he will be with you. So be strong. Be courageous. The Lord is with you. So this mantle of leadership has now changed from Moses to Joshua. The physical leader has changed, but the true leader, the Lord, will remain the same. I just want to close being very personal with you, Welbeck Road, because you are in the process of change. I know that. Your pastor will change. And that is bound to mean some changes. Changes in terms of style, changes maybe in terms of format. It will, and maybe for some of you that will feel very uncomfortable for you. But what I want to remind you is what Moses reminded the people of God. The Lord doesn't change. Your leader hasn't really changed because the Lord is your leader. And those underlying objectives, those functions of this local church, they will also remain the same because, again, those things never change. You keep battling on. The same fights, the same battles, the same spiritual conquests that lay under David's ministry will lie under the next pastor's ministry. Nothing changes. Yes, the man, the human leader will change, but the ultimate leader, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise the Lord for this, he never changes. So be bold. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. Don't be terrified. For the Lord your God goes with you. He leads you. He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Let's pray.